You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
Everybody's heard about a quitter. Some of you have quit. Typically, in the context of quitting, we normally, our brain goes to, I quit a job. I remember when I quit a certain college class. Mine, my epic moment, I lasted about 3 hours in Greek class, New Testament Greek. And I didn't even quit. I just didn't come back. Probably twice a year, I do a little sermon, a little talk, a little teaching on quitting. Try to do a twist every time. I try to give you some new information. It just concerns me so much and disappoints me so deeply when I look up and you're gone. And it's not necessarily you're gone from church, because people change churches. I get that. There are seasons in some of your life where you can't even go to church. I understand that. But I'm talking about so many times I'm just heartbroken because you're quitting the faith. And maybe, you know, I personally believe that quitting the faith, one of the indicators of that is you quitting Christian people. Walking away from church typically is the gateway to walking away from faith. And I'm going to give you some statistics of where American Christians are at and why I am so concerned. It's the reason I started the 20s and 30s class. We meet after this service down there at the youth building because I'm tired of seeing people quit. I'm tired of looking up and there's no interest in faith at all. There's no interest in Christianity. And so this morning I want to share from two particular verses. Now this is not going to be a deep deal today. There's a scripture in Revelation chapter 2. You remember this? I spoke on it about 6 months ago. But you have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. So here's the thing about you guys that are walking away from your faith. You can call it whatever you want to. The old timers call it backsliding. The new timers call it deconstructing. And that's the big thing about progressive Christianity. There's a lot of folks that think they're still in Christianity, but they've actually walked away from the main tenets of Christianity. And they've got a church and a dumb pastor that's telling them, you know, no, Jesus didn't physically, bodily rise from the dead. No, there is no hell. No, Jesus was not crucified for that. It's just awful. Version of Christianity. It's not even Christianity at all. But here's what I notice in a lot of folks that walk away. Because if I could just sit down and ask you 7 questions before you leave your faith. And you know what? Some of you are drifting and it's so subtle. Nobody in your family is noticing it. So the first step, I believe, in deconstructing and walking away from faith is that subtle drift, where you're just not as excited about anything that has to do with faith or Christianity. And then there's this one. This is when you're done. And you know people like this. Unfortunately, you got people in your family like this. Many of you parents have children that have walked away. And when you ask them, they'll go, and some of them will just say, no, I just don't want to do church anymore. But there's nothing Christian about them any other time in their life. Paul said this to Timothy, cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear, for some people have deliberately violated their consciences. And as a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Here's some stats from the Barna, where we're at right now. 1 in 4 Americans are done with church, half of which are done with God, 48%. Here's why. You asked me, and I had a pastor from Tennessee call me this week and said, why are you doing the 20s and 30s deal? I'll show you. 70% of all young people who grow up in church leave it in their 20s. They're done. Now, obviously, there's many reasons why people leave the faith. I can give you some of the reasons / excuses, and I'm not trying to judge you. I'm not trying to be mean. I still want to ask you 7 questions if you're thinking about leaving, if you've already quit. If at one time you called yourself a believer and you quit, I'd like to ask you 7 questions. I hope those of you that are sitting here that have had somebody deconstruct, somebody that walked away from their faith, I hope you will be able to write these 7 questions down and have an honest conversation with them. Now, it may not be pretty, but I hope you too can take these 7 questions and ask about them. And sometimes people leave their faith because of a weak church. There are so many weak churches, And by weak, I don't mean they just don't teach good doctrine. Sometimes they teach good doctrine and they're angry about it. You know, and they're just mean. I understand there's some bad church experiences where you were in leadership one time. I just think of how many people used to go here and now they don't go anywhere, and there's no interest in anything special or anything Christian. And they would tell you, from Lifeway, 72% of unchurched people believe the church is filled with hypocrites. Well, of course it is. You know good and well you've said one thing and done another. All you gotta do is ask your kids. Time management, some people say they can't afford to come here or to be involved. A big deal is weak parental spiritual involvement. Do you know right now, 93% of practicing Christians that are grandparents will not have a conversation with their grandchildren about the Lord. And so grandparents, you're setting that child up for major attacks, spiritual attacks. Have a conversation with him. Seven questions I want to ask you. Seven questions I hope you'll ask people that are subtly walking away, or maybe they've completely deconstructed. Number one, have you been saved? Were you ever really saved? Now, I always add a parenthesis to that. I always say, have you been saved, and tell me about that. Can you tell me about that? And here's what I learned. More people that I am comfortable with will say I was baptized. More people than I'm even comfortable talking about would say, yes, sir, I'm a member of so-and-so church. Yes, sir, I grew up in a Christian home. And so you got all these lists, and see, none of those makes you saved. None of them. And so we have had the opportunity to lead so many of you to Christ just during that interview. People understand we're all messy. We're sinners by nature, sinners by choice, but we have the solution available. It's Jesus, right? But a person who does not have Christ cannot run on emotional fumes forever when hard times come. They just can't. They'll never get ahead of their addictions. They can't. They have no internal power called the Holy Spirit. Y'all agree? One of the scariest verses was written by John. But John explained why a lot of people walk away from faith even now. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged to us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong to us Christians. Second question, how often do you pray? How often do you pray? This will shake you up, did me. When Americans pray, a typical prayer is 15 seconds, possibly 2 minutes. Nearly half of Americans pray every day, usually for a few seconds. It's pretty clear in Thessalonians, pray continually. Pray continually. So talk to him, talk to him often, talk to him honestly. If you're thinking about walking away, if you have walked away, could you just give me a little example of your prayers? Did you ever really, really pray from the heart? Did you ever really, really specifically ask the Lord to fix some of the stuff that you're going through? Did you ever actually ask the Lord to give you some direction on a decision that you were about to make? Are you saved? Tell me about it. How often did you pray before you abandon Christ? Third question is, this is huge. How often do you confess your sins? You ever had that conversation with a four-year-old? We have a lot of kids that want to get baptized because they see other people get baptized. And I'm going to be honest with you, that's a big old tank. It looks like fun. And you hadn't let that kid go swimming all summer. Why not? So his buddy gets baptized and you ask, okay, how do I do that? And his dad freaks out, calls Keona, can you talk to my kid? Well, they do. And it turns out when she asks the child, do you know what sin is? That 4 or 5-year-old is probably going to say, yep, my older brother. That's what every one of mine did. All of mine wanted to get baptized. And then we had that conversation with them. And of course, every one of my kids pointed to the middle brother. Yeah, Macaulay's a sinner. We all are, actually. The thing is, I worry that sometimes adults have a skewed version of sin as well. So if I ask you, how often are you confessing your sins, and you do not answer daily, I need to know how you do it. Now, if you're using the Ten Commandments as your sin guide and your only sin guide, you probably don't have to confess, maybe, well, I didn't commit adultery. Ooh, I wanted to, but I didn't kill that lady at the Walmart. And so if that is your idea, if that's your only reference point for sin, let's talk about sin. Did you say something mean yesterday? Around that, cross-brand sarcasm is the unlisted spiritual gift in Ephesians. But you got to be careful because those people with that gifting can really hurt people. Did you hurt anybody's feelings yesterday from being mean? Did you set a bad example yesterday? Matthew chapter 5, your influence. Did you worry yesterday? Worry's a sin? Well, duh. Of course it's a sin. Goodness. Do you look twice at that lady at the pool? You said, preacher, I'm good. I had on sunglasses. Were you greedy on a business deal? Lord blessed, it worked. Profit's profit. She's greedy. That's why we have to confess sin every day and sometimes multiple times a day. What is the problem with sin? Here's the problem with sin. Sin stifles your relationship with the Lord. And the longer it stays there unconfessed and undealt with, the more distance you're putting in between you and the Holy Spirit and His ability to guide you and hold you strong. Ephesians chapter 4, don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. How do we grieve Him? We sin. Now everybody sins, right? If you don't, again, write a book because I sure want to know how you'd pull it off. Unconfessed sin, the second thing about unconfessed sin, even though you think it's not that big a deal, the more I study spiritual warfare, the more I am convinced that it's an open invitation to the demonic in our lives. Meaning, you're giving the devil a foothold, so to speak. And the devil is worse than the worst person in your life. You know, you've got those people that push your boundaries, right? You've got those people that don't respect your boundaries. And you give them an inch and they take a what? Yeah, or two. And so Satan is the master of that. And so there was a podcast I listened to by Frank Turek, Spiritual Warfare, Christians, Demonization, and Deliverance with Dr. Carl Payne. I've already told y'all that, but that's the name of a book. I'll say it one more time. Spiritual Warfare, Christians, Demonization, Deliverance with Carl Payne. Ultimately, what he's saying and claiming is the more we give them an opportunity, the demonic, the dark, the more they're going to take it. So why not just do this? God knows you're sinning. That doesn't make you unsaved when we sin. But confess it, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So my third, excuse me, I'm so sorry. My third question is, fourth question actually is, what about sin? Third question. I went to school at Quitman. Number next. How often do you read scripture? If you're thinking about quitting and you have no fire left, like the church in Revelation, you have no zeal for doing Christian things, thinking Christian thoughts. How often were you in the scripture for those of you that have already walked away? You say, well, come to think of it, I don't guess so. Guys, we are anemic in America in regards to the scripture. We're anemic. It is okay for you to ask me questions. I love that you would ask me questions. But one of the things that concerns me, again, for the teenagers and the kids growing up in the 20s and the 30s, parents, you're the first line of defense. You should be able to speak to their needs from Scripture. You say, well, I'm not that good in Scripture. Well, you don't have to be that good if you have an iPhone or a phone or a computer. You just type your kid's question into gotquestions.org and you're going to look like the smartest person on earth. Just go ahead and plagiarize. It'll be all right. How often were you in Scripture for those of you that walked away? And I suspect I know the answer. Let me tell you about Scripture. You got to eat daily. Now, it is true that you baby Christians, you'll have a different diet. I mean, who in the world in the right mind would want to teach a baby Christian from Hebrews or from, you ready, Revelation? So we go back, and that's why I tell new babies, hey, just read from John. Read from John. If you're just reintroducing yourself back to Christ, do all the J books. Put Jude in there last, but do all the J books in the New Testament. Just read a little bit. Read a chapter. Why? Because you got to eat. Peter put it like food. He said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Paul talked about it being like milk and meat. And of course, as you get older, you should be in the meat, older in the faith. Problem is, many of you are not eating daily. You're wanting me to feed you. How many times do I feed you? Once a week? Twice a week? You seriously eat only twice a week? And it's kind of crazy. I got this image in my mind. We still got a little picture. When my boys still liked one another, when they were real little, that was funny. Micah was feeding Macaulay. Now, I'd make him so mad because Macaulay would bite the spoon and wouldn't give it back to him. I'm talking about that. They were little bitty guys. Well, I have never seen a picture in the past 2 years of Micah feeding Macaulay. How dumb would that be? That's not even cute. There's something wrong. Well, there's also something wrong with those of you that have been in the faith for several years and you're expecting me to spoon feed you? Get in the Word, man. Get in the Word. There's so many devotionals and places you can go with this. Scripture will actually help you not quit. What's the next scripture? If you've tasted that the Lord is good. Let me give you another one. I don't know what I did. Ephesians chapter 6. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. One of your best tools for hanging in there, for battling addictions, for battling toxic people and that are trying to get in your mind is Scripture. So you're telling me, I don't know about all this faith stuff. How often are you in the Word? Jesus said this one time. In John 17:17, he said, sanctify them, that's change them, by truth. What is truth? The Word. So you're telling me I'm not much interested in Christianity. Well, how many times have you opened your Bible in the last month? You can't eat once a month. You can't eat twice a week. Another question I would ask, number 5, is how often do you attend a local church? Now, we appreciate our online audience. We really do. These folks, they live in parts of America where there's just not the ability to find a local church. We are helping a little bit with a new church plant in Montana, in Livingston. We're hoping to partner with that church as the Lord leads. But do you realize that Montana, I guess that'd be Idaho, there's about 3 different states around there. 1%, 1% of the population's in church, 1%. There's 300,000 people around where they're starting that church. 3,000 are in church out of 300,000. And so we welcome our online audience. However, if you can attend, I mean, if you're in a geographically in a place where you can go to a local church, how often do you go? Here's the thing. It's plain in Scripture the purpose of church is not giving up meeting together. Paul, or the writer of Hebrews said, don't Don't quit going to a local gathering. As some are in the habit of doing. See, they did it then too. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. When you show up here, there's three things that happen. Number one, you get taught. You get taught better when Matt's up here, but you get taught. Number two, you get community here. You find community here. And then number three, you get to serve others here. And if you're not serving, volunteering somewhere, please volunteer somewhere. I tell you what, I am confused. Here we are in the buckle of the Bible Belt, and we still have funeral home directors calling pastors every single day, wanting them to come to a funeral, and the pastor will say, I don't think I remember that person. Turns out, they never met the person. Funeral home has a list of preachers, right, Matt, that they call. I know Jason Taylor told me one time over Bar None, he did 60-something funerals in a year. 60. I don't do that. Will I go and do people's funerals? I don't know. Absolutely. It's a great time to share the gospel. I definitely would do that. But the problem is, it blows my mind, how do people live without a church family? You know you're either in a wreck, coming out of a wreck, or going into a wreck. Life's full of junky stuff. I mean, somebody's going to die, somebody's going to get a divorce, somebody's going to get sick, somebody's going to graduate, somebody's going to have a baby, somebody's going to deploy, one of your kids is going to stick a popcorn kernel in the nose of your other child. And somebody's going to sin. You need a church family. How often did you connect to your church community? Because if you don't have a local church, you don't have those warriors around you, you're fair game for Satan. Another question real quick, you ready? How often do you communicate with your Christian community? You said, well, isn't that what you just talked about? Not exactly. If you're only getting community once every 7 days in rows, that's not enough. But you were created for community. You were created for community. Ask Adam and Eve. You were created for community. Ask the Apostle Paul. Ask all the other writers of the New Testament. Went over 59 times. They told us to one another, and you cannot, as one pastor says, one another in rows. So you join a team at CrossBrand. You connect outside of CrossBrand. I've got my two or three. Who are your two or three that you can kick, cuss, and cry to? You need those people in your life. Now, I got proved the truth this morning. This is the truth. It is, I do wear Levi's. Most of the time I wear the Levi's button fly. Now my goal every morning is to get, there's five buttons, is to get three of the five buttons. Well, Lily, I disappointed you this morning. I was running on maybe two. And so all you people that saw me this morning, I know who you are. I came out here, hugged 80,000 people's necks. You saw my barn door was open. You didn't say a word. Chuck, Todd, y'all need to have some sensitivity training in that, because I went back there and even your wife saw me and she didn't say nothing. I thought we were friends. I'm taking you out of my Christian community. I go back in here to our pre-service meeting, and Daryl goes, hey. Let me tell you how old I am. I didn't even turn around, man. I don't know how many females was in there. Nothing was showing. I just had a crack in the door. And I look down, I go, holy. This is like the second or third time I've done it this month. That's the difference between your Christian community and just going to church. Your Christian community is somebody that can say, hey, you're doing something that's stupid. I love you, but that's stupid. Let me pray for you. Who are those people you can call when you got a situation and you need a prayer warrior? That's your Christian community. When you feel like you messed up and just need somebody to either validate or verify or whatever, that's your Christian community. And why? Because it's still true what Solomon said, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens the other. And then finally, and then you'll have it. How often do you serve one another? Now, there's two places you can serve. You can serve in your local church, and you can serve in your community. We're created for this. We're designed for this. What happens when you don't do what the manufacturer tells you to do with a particular piece of equipment? You tear it up. You tear it up. Trust me, a John Deere tractor is not a bulldozer. That's why all my mechanics have me in their phone as job security. John 15, you did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit. Be productive. In your local church, get on a team. Serve some way. A million ways. Number two, in your community, one of the coolest things that happened this past week was Cody Mahaffey went and picked up a young man. Now, it's 145 degrees, right, Michael? Something like that this week. I bet that's fun fighting fires, guys. And he is walking down the road holding a bicycle. I thought you were supposed to ride him. Blowed a tire out on the back. And I mean, it's hot. And I think the most shocking thing to that young man was Cody pulls in and asks if he could give him a ride. And he took that man, a young man, to his house. He didn't push cross brand. He was just being kind. He was being a believer. He was serving someone else. Guys, if you are not doing that, you're not doing what you're designed at birth, at conception. Jesus is saying, I have designed you to go be productive, to go help others, to serve. I'll close real quick because you got to get to the Cracker Barrel. You ready? Revelation chapter 2. Once John had written to that church at Ephesus and said, look, God's not mad at you, but I'm concerned. You've lost your first love. You don't have that passion like you did when you first saved. There may be a little subtle drift in your walk with Jesus. And so he said, here's the solution. Remember how far you have fallen, repent, and do the works that you did at first. And then there's a not so subtle warning there to that particular church. Could we pray? Father, thank you for this great church. Thank you we can gather. And we can be a church. We can be a family. I'm also thankful for the connections that people have made here that are way beyond the church. The weekly meetings, the weekly prayers. Lord, I pray, I got a couple of concerns. Number one, if there's anyone here that is weakening in their walk with you, I pray that you'll call them back. Call them back just like you did the prodigal. And I pray they'll confess that. They'll get in their word, they'll get in prayer, and they'll do these other five things. Secondly, Father, if there's someone here this morning, I know I've spoken mainly to Christians who've deconstructed, walked away, or are subtly drifting. But I pray especially for those who have never come to faith. I know when I talk about people's faith, I used to sit there. I was not a saved person going to church. I was a lost person who was going to church. And so this morning, Father, I just pray that you'll wake up the people that do not have a relationship with you. And this morning, even if they're sitting in their chair, They just say, Jesus, I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me and change me.